One of the consequences of the U.S. fight against al-Qaeda and terrorism is the bolstering of local police forces here in the United States with paramilitary equipment and actual combat gear, such as large-caliber machine guns, armored cars, and aircraft. Can they handle this capability? 184 police departments have been cut off from the Pentagon pipeline because they have simply lost M14, M15, and M16 rifles and 45-caliber pistols. And there are fears that some of this equipment could end up on the black market. Joining us is Daniel Rivero, producer at the Fusion Network. Welcome.
Thanks, John.
So how are you tracking these weapons? And, you know, what's the sanction for these local police departments?
So I've actually unraveled a list that the Pentagon provided me of departments that have been suspended from this program. The problem is that the Pentagon hasn't provided me with any information about why these departments were suspended. Basically, it's a matter of doing a lot of legwork and making a lot of calls to every different state and in many cases to some police departments directly to try to figure out what the reason for suspension is. And as I suspected, in many cases, it's because of missing weapons.
And is anyone tracking these weapons besides you and your teams?
It doesn't seem like it. I mean, the Pentagon was unable to get me any details about the departments that have already been suspended. They told me it would take weeks to gather that information. So I suspect that they have it somewhere in their database, but it's just going to take them a long time to collect, which raises some red flags because it suggests that they don't actually have a database readily available of these weapons that have gone missing in the departments where it happened.
In terms of South Florida, what's the worst-case scenario of where these weapons might end up?
In Florida, there was a list of 7 departments that were listed as suspended. And I talked to someone that works close with the state coordinator, and he basically told me that there was weapons that went missing, and then they were all located, so they're all in good standing with the program right now. I mean, what we seem to have happening is that every time they do an inventory, a lot of departments find that they have weapons missing. In many cases, they do find the weapons. And in some cases, I've seen that an officer might take it home and then bring it back. But in many cases, I mean, they just have open investigations and criminal reports written about these guns.
So at the very least, what you've got here is a profile of some really lax security and lax sort of controls over a really beyond the normal police capability of weaponry here. I mean, M14s, M15s, and M16s are fully automatic weapons in the military configuration, right?
Yeah, it brings up an interesting question about, you know, many of these police departments that are receiving this are really small. I mean, we're talking about towns that have a couple hundred people in them. And there's a valid question about how capable are they to manage this inventory and how much oversight at the local level do these weapons have?
What's the, you know, most kind of Mayberry, you know, example here where a small police department was really set up to be a kind of a, you know, paramilitary militia?
Well, I mean, I have a couple of examples of just strange stories, like the Georgia Department of Corrections. They sold a military-owned Humvee, and then according to the reports that I had, they had to go fetch it back from the person they sold it to and then give it to the state, who then gave it to another law enforcement agency within the state. And in Mississippi, I have a case of a small police department where one of these guns was taken to a gun exchange in exchange for a Glock. And then now they have, according to the reports, no way to track where that gun actually went after it was exchanged for another gun.
How did you get tipped off to this story?
Interesting enough, on the way to work here in Miami, I was passing down this major avenue next to our airport, and I look to my right, and there's an armored vehicle sitting right off the sidewalk, and I'm stuck in traffic, and it's kind of hovering over me. And I thought to myself, what is this armored vehicle doing? It just made me kind of uncomfortable. So I got to work that day, and I started actually making some calls. I talked to the chief, and he told me, oh, we got it through this government program, but actually it was just at the shop getting repairs, and I checked, and that was right. But it kind of set me off in this path of, you know, trying to follow who regulates these things that the federal government is getting, and who's keeping track of it, and the use, and the inventory, et cetera.
Now, do law enforcement officials that you spoke with, and again, you know, you're just at the beginning of this investigation, do they think they need, you know, Humvees and armored vehicles? And in the case of the Georgia Corrections, I mean, do they I guess they sold it, so maybe they don't need it. But do these folks want to hold on to this stuff?
There's a sense that some departments see it as free fodder that they can kind of grow into. So if you have the capability to get equipment that doesn't come out of your budget, then you might be able to more rapidly expand your operation without having to pay for the equipment that goes alongside it. I haven't been able to find any cases of misuse of any weapons or any armored vehicles of any kind. But, I mean, it just seems like if you put things up for grabs, people are likely to grab it. And then if there's not a system in place to track how these things are being used, a lot of it's just left up in the air.
And anecdotally, it sounds like, you know, some of the things that you're watching indicate that cops, you know, would rather trade some of this stuff than actually use it. They'd rather have a Glock than a 45 cal pistol or something like that. So there's an understanding within the police that they're getting it free, but they'd kind of rather have the cash to get stuff that they really need, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's important to keep in mind that a lot of this gear that they're getting is deemed as surplus by the military, which means that a lot of it is old and it's not necessarily in use. And some of it is actually old enough coming from the Vietnam era that, you know, it might even be collectible and it might actually be very, very valuable on the open market. So some suspect that if you're selling an M14, you know, that could potentially go for thousands of dollars on the open market. And, you know, some officers might have done that.
Daniel Rivero is producer at the Fusion Network. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, John.